Bracing for layoffs at the Journal.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. It appears job cuts are coming to Dow Jones and the Wall Street Journal. Dow Jones CEO Richard Zannino sent a letter to employees saying changes are coming and job cuts may be unavoidable. But he said the goal of News Corp's buyout of Dow Jones is to increase profits by growing, not by slashing costs. Rupert Murdoch's $5 billion deal for Dow Jones should go through by the end of the year. Ever since September 11, 2001, the government has tracked terrorists by following the money trail. But now terrorists seem to be thinking smaller and spending less, which might make them harder to track. More now from Jeremy Hobson.
The 9/11 attacks are said to have cost about $500,000 to execute. The July 7th London bombings, just a few thousand. Terror finance expert Loretta Napoleoni says such lean operations make it harder to track the terrorists.
For that kind of money, you do not need funding from outside. You can actually raise the money within the cell.
And what's more, terrorists are increasingly raising money illegally. Michael Jacobson at the Washington Institute says that makes it even harder to track them.
In a lot of cases, it can be small, petty criminal activity that might not even rise to the level that law enforcement would necessarily notice.
Jacobson says there are no good measures of government success in cutting off funds. But 2 years ago, the 9/11 Commission gave the government its highest grade for its efforts in combating terror financing. In Washington, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
A lot of competing forces on Wall Street yesterday. The Dow climbed 14 points to 13,127, but the Nasdaq was down 6 to 2559. The S&P 500 dropped 1 point. Today, the overseas markets are trading higher. Oil is just shy of the all-time record this morning, just under $78 a barrel. Britain is mourning the loss of one of its most respected businesswomen. Anita Roddick died last night at the age of 64. She founded the cosmetic chain The Body Shop. Today, British Prime Minister Gordon Brown called her one of his country's true pioneers. We're joined now by our man in London, Stephen Beard. Stephen, what made Roddick so special?
She was probably the first ethical retailer in Britain. Her company, Body Shop, was the first one that really was totally committed to a whole range of ethical and environmental causes many years before these things became fashionable in the British business world.
But as a businesswoman, she was also considered pretty shrewd, wasn't she?
Yes, very much so. And this opened her to accusations of hypocrisy. She was passionately interested in running a company which she said was kinder and gentler than the average corporation. But at the same time, she did pocket around $2 million a year in dividends. And when she sold her company to the French cosmetics giant L'Oreal last year, she and her husband made well over $200 million from the sale.
Well, they are in business. When that happened, I do remember a lot of people came out hard against her for selling out.
Indeed, because L'Oreal was precisely the sort of company she loathed. She accused L'Oreal of lying to women, exploiting women with their products. But Anita Roddick defended her sale by saying, once we're inside this large multinational company, we'll change it from the inside.
And has that happened?
The jury is still out on that. It is worth noting, though, finally, that lining up today to pay tribute have been environmentalists, aid campaigners, charity workers, not the sort of people that usually line up to heap praise on a businesswoman after she's died.
All right, Stephen Beard, our correspondent in London. Thank you.
Okay, Scott.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by A.G. Edwards, caring for nest eggs for more than 120 years, with a commitment to provide objective financial advice. And by the Medtronic Foundation, sponsoring The Mysterious Human Heart, a PBS series shedding light on heart disease through the stories of people from around the world, premiering on PBS in October. Conversations from the Corner Office, Dialogues with Top CEOs, is supported by Society for Human Resource Management, also sponsoring PBS's CEO Exchange, shrm.org.
The mother of all hearings wraps up today. That's how Congressman Charles Rangel described his four-day hearing on taxation. It covered the gamut from middle-class taxes to taxing private equity. But commentator Stephen Moore says Congress should really consider what he calls the fair tax.
We could abolish the income tax and the payroll tax, too, and replace them with a 23% national sales tax. All taxes would be paid at the cash register when you buy a Grape Slurpee or a Honda Civic. This fair tax would instantly banish 8 billion pages of paperwork and the more than 12,000 IRS agents who snoop on all our financial transactions. Economists from Harvard and MIT have verified that this plan wouldn't swell the budget deficit and would increase American jobs. The United States would instantly become a global magnet for new investment and businesses. And those Benedict Arnold companies that have fled America in search of lower taxes would be back on the next 747. Under the fair tax, we'd finally do what other nations do. We'd tax imports, but not our exports. We would no longer tax Americans on what they earn and save, only on what they consume. So for the average worker, every penny they earn, they would get to keep. Take-home pay would increase by more than 20% under the fair tax. Seniors would still get their Social Security checks, now paid for out of sales tax collections. Oh, but wouldn't a national sales tax be regressive and hurt the poor? Nope. Under the fair tax, every American family of four would be able to purchase the first $20,000 of goods and services every year tax-free. What better way to clean up the swamp of corruption and sweetheart deals in Washington than by terminating the IRS tax code? This is supposed to be a government of, by, and for the people, not the tax lobbyists and special interest groups in Washington. So let's promote economic growth with equity through the fair tax.
Stephen Moore is a member of the editorial board at The Wall Street Journal. Share your thoughts with us at our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.